I've been feeding my birds in the middle of them to keep coming back and seeing me. And I was feeding them the other day, and they were just so happy. Hi, hi, thank you, thank you, thank you. They even left me some tips. And but anyway, I saw one the other day. It's red. It's a sparrow, but it has a red. Somebody called it, they say it's a ruby-throated or ruby-breasted sparrow. I never saw one before. And then Heather was over at my house the other day when I was gone. She saw two blue jays. I've never saw blue jays around here. So I'm excited about that. And I said, take a picture? She says, well, they're too quick. So she must have scared them. I want you to take your Bible, please, and go to Matthew chapter 3. I'm so glad you're here today. If you have a cell phone on, it'd be a good idea to turn on Tickle or Buzz. Because if you don't, you're going to get embarrassed. It ain't going to bother me, but it's going to bother you. I was preaching at a funeral one time. Little old man sat right there. He was too old to have one, amen. He was sitting there, and his thing went on. I told him, I said, folks, I said, for your information, it's a pretty good idea to turn your cell phone off, you know. I'm right in the middle of that sermon, and that thing went off. And he was hard of hearing, and it was loud. I mean, one of those things, you know. And I could see him go like this. He checked every pocket. I could tell he was an old fireman, never had a suit on for a long time. And he had so many pockets, he went through all of them. Finally, the last place, he found it. And he fumbled the thing, dropped it on the floor, picked it up, and turned it off. 2 minutes later, guess what? Ring-a-dang-a-ding-a-dang-a-ding-a-dang-a-dang. Loud. And now his face is red. It's at his brother's funeral. He's embarrassed. He thinks he gets it off. The next time it goes off, he says, good night, don't you know I'm at a funeral? Don't call me back. And he says, go ahead, parson. So if you got one of them things on you, it may be, keep you from embarrassment. Amen. And also, do not text and tweet when I'm preaching. Amen. Do that afterwards. Amen. And thank you very much. And if you have a child in here that's got a little plaything that's going beep, 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 turn the thing off. It's not bothering him. It's bothering everybody else around you. And I want you to get everything you can. You just give me about 30 minutes. That's all I got right now. 30 minutes to get to your heart and get you through all week. And so help me, please. Help me. If your child is disobedient, take them out. Do what you have to do, and then bring them back. Stop in the back there, amen. Don't come all the way through, and we'll just be happy, amen. 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 All right, here we go. Well, Fern's here now. I can start to preach. All right. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 13, the scripture says, then cometh Jesus. Today, can you imagine? I've read this psalm, I've read this Matthew, read Matthew, and today is the first time I ever found something. You know, that's the Word of God. The Word of God's living. I didn't realize it, but here it is. I marked it. John the Baptist is talking about he who would come. He's talking about Jesus Christ. And look at what he says here in verse 11. I indeed baptize you with the water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, in whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. You read the scriptures later, and the Bible says that when Jesus comes to John the Baptist and baptized me, he said, I am not worthy to unlash the shoes from your feet. And I didn't see that before. Isn't that amazing? Isn't the Bible wonderful? Boy, Saturday morning I got up early. I was reading my Bible. Man, I was just having me a time and enjoying the Word of God, and the things just kept popping out and popping out and popping out. I said, man, it's good. Amen. It's a living Word of God. Read your Bible every day. Read your Bible and pray every day. Read your Bible and pray every day. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You need more faith? Read your Bible every day. Man ought to read his Bible every day. If I was a young Christian, I'd read 1 John. I'd read it over and over and over and over. Then I'd go back to Genesis and learn about all the Old Testament guys. Read Genesis, Exodus. You're going to have a hard time, Leviticus. Numbers is kind of fun. Deuteronomy, heavy stuff, amen. But read your Bible every day. Get a taste of it, amen. Well, I want to talk to you today about then cometh Jesus. In John chapter 1, verse 19, and this is the record of John. This is John the Baptizer, John the Baptist, amen. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. They asked him, what then, art thou Isaiah or Elijah? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou thyself? And he said, I am the voice in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. Here's the idea. Years ago, when a man would become king, you know, we'll have it January the 20th, around there, we'll have the inauguration of our president, or new president. And that's a big day. And they have huge crowds. And they have limousines, and they have motorcycles, and they have horses, and you name it, they got it all, amen. And they literally set straight or get things ready, that's the idea here, the word picture, get things ready to bring in a new leader. And John the Baptizer said, I am he who is getting things ready for he that is to come. And so when you're reading this, you get to, wow, that's an incredible thing, amen. Here comes Jesus. Jesus is coming. Let's make sure we've got everything clean. Let's pick up the paper. Let's clean everything and make sure the garbage is taken up and make sure everything is painted up and everything's going good, because we want to show off our gratitude for a new king. What would John the Baptizer do? He came in and he preached what? Repentance. Get your heart right before your holy God, because His Holy Son is coming, amen. So as we read that, we see in Luke chapter 7, verse 28, for I say among you, listen, this is what Jesus says about John the Baptizer now. He says, for I say unto you, Luke chapter 2, verse 28, among those that are born of a woman, there is no greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Did you know that John the Baptist never one time did a miracle? But bless God, he could preach, amen. I suppose you really wanted to preach, because if anybody eats locusts and wild honey, I like a steak once in a while. You know what I mean? Now, I said that because I know that right now it's 12:35 in our biological body. We're supposed to be at McDonald's about now, amen. I've seen some of them come in with baggies today, have something in them, amen. John the Baptizer were baptizing the Jordan River. And he knew that his preaching was preparing the Jewish people for the great God of heaven to come and minister to the people on earth. And as he cried, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the earth, he was pointing to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ walked 75 miles from Nazareth down to Jordan, where he's at, 75 miles. I don't know if he took a burrow or whatever, but 75 miles, that's all it takes. And he told John, you baptized me. And when he was coming, before he even said it, by the way, John the Baptist, and many people think John the Baptist was an old, old, old man. How many believe that he was an old man? He was an old man. He's 33 years old. He was six months older than Jesus Christ. Because you remember, his mama was going to have a baby, and the cousin, it was Mary's cousin Elizabeth. And then Mary was told she's going to have a baby. And she hip-hopped all the way down and went down to the southern part of Israel to be with her, be with Elizabeth, her cousin, for the birth. Everybody thinks he was an old, old man. By the way, he died at about 33. He cut his head off. He was the greatest preacher. Amen. You say, that's not fair. A lot of things are not fair in this world. But God knows what he's doing. God does not make mistakes. God does not make mistakes.
Amen.
He's the greatest preacher in the world. Oh my goodness. Why in the world would you take... Hey, it's not my responsibility. Question God, my responsibility is to say, yes, sir, Lord. And quit your fussing about troubles and heartaches and sorrows that come into your life. But it did not fair. Life is not fair. Ever since Adam and Eve took of the fruit of the garden of evil, in that Garden of Eden, the truth, knowledge of good and evil, it has never been fair since.
Amen.
It's not fair, by the way, you're going to get to go to heaven. But it's good.
Amen.
It's not fair, you've got a good wife. But it's good.
Amen.
It's not fair, you've got a good husband. But it's good. It's not fair you got some kids because there's some people that can't have kids. I thought this was an equal opportunity thing. No, everybody has different things happening in their life. Good night. Here's the greatest preacher that ever lived. Cut short. Dead. Graveyard dead. Stopped his voice. 30. No, life is not fair, is it?
Amen.
Anything ever happened to you that wasn't fair?
Lord,
Captain Chris,
yes.
Great pilot, F-16, stopped to help somebody. Car hits him, almost kills him. Intensive care, I forget how long. Long time. Lives in a wheelchair now.
Okay.
Lives in a wheelchair now. Not fair! Well, it depends on what Captain Chris does with his life. He can pray just as good as I can. Just because I got 2 feet to run around and he doesn't, he can still pray. He can still get a hold of the columns of heaven, amen?
Amen.
He can still come boldly before the throne of grace and find mercy in time of need, amen?
Amen.
He says, it's not fair. My husband left me. My wife left me. It's not fair. It's not fair. My children didn't turn out. By the way, it ain't over yet until they die, whether they turned out or not. I remember Mrs. Evans. She was standing up here. Lady came up and said, my kids didn't turn out. And Mrs. Evans turned on her heels and said, how old is your kid? And she said, she's 22. She said, don't you ever say she didn't turn out, because it ain't over until it's over.
Amen.
You just keep praying. Things are not fair. But I'm going to be like Job. I'm not going to curse God and die. And I'm not going to question what he does or allows to happen in my life. I'm going to keep following. You say, but it's so hard. Listen, you look at me now. You look at me. You don't want my burdens and I don't want your burdens. I'm glad I'm 65 going on 66 and getting Social Security this January.
Amen.
I do not want to be back how young you are. I don't want to go through all the junk I had to do and all the things I saw and all the decisions I had to make. I don't want to do that again. Hey, I'm glad where I am. Don't you cuss me. Don't you be upset with me. I'm just happy as I am right now, what I am, what I'm doing, and what I think I'm doing, amen. He said, oh, it's just not fair. No, it's not. To your little peanut brain up there. No, it's not fair. But if you look at all the things that God has done in your life, are you still breathing? Your heart still beating? You got a place to live? You got a house to come in out of the cold tonight? You got food on your table? What more does a man want? God said in Ecclesiastes, there are two things a man gets in life. Only two. The love of his wife and the food that he eats. That's all you get out of this world. Let me tell you something. You say, oh man, if I could just have that brand new car. That having that brand new car is not going to settle your problems. It just, for some of you, is going to make it worse because you're going to have to pay a little bit more than that old dune buggy used to drive. Now you got to worry about some idiot in Montana at the shopping center opening up and dinging your door. We had a kid in our church one time. He had an old beater. And, he drove that old thing around. And it was a good car. It just didn't look so pretty, you know. Some of the paint was coming off it. And, you know, and it had three hubcaps, you know. And a light and a grill that kind of looked like it was frowning. And one day he went out and bought a brand new car. He said, oh, I love this car. It's so nice. And man, he'd polish it and polish it. One day at our church, some little lady with three little children, she was a single mama, came to our church and the wind was blowing. Happens in Montana, yeah? The wind was blowing. She opened up a door and it just scraped a little, you know those cars that have that shiny, it looks like chrome on the sides. It just, you could not see it, but it nicked a little bit. Mr. Stupid was out there, saw it happen. He went ballistic and said, I'm going to take you to court. It's not always good to have something new. Amen. It changed that man's perspective of life. Oh, by the way, I never saw that mother and three children that Heritage Baptist Church could have helped. And she couldn't pay for it, and so he took her to small claims court. Oh, I'm really impressed. You forgot to read 1 Corinthians where we don't take a brother or sister to court. Have you read that yet? You work it out together. You know, by the way, let me tell you something. He doesn't have that car. In about 2 years, he sold it and got another car. And now I'm sure he's had about 10 different cars. She's not in church anymore. Doesn't sound like that's really important, did it? Some of the things you're going to get all flipped out. You're going to flip your wig. You're going to blow your false teeth out because of. You don't know which way you're going to turn. You're so upset about some stupid little thing in your life. And you'll quit a church and you go here and you go there and you don't like what the preacher said. Most of you don't anyway. Well, you don't like it, but you don't do it. And I guess that's the best thing I could tell you. And you go here, you go there, and you will never be satisfied. You won't be satisfied with your children. Because they may not do exactly what you expected them to do. You expected them to be. You expected them to marry. Now kids, listen to me. It's never right to date someone that is not saved. It's really ignorant of you to date someone who is not from the same kind of Bible background as you are. Because it's going to make it really tough. Marriage is tough. I thought I'd tell you that. Marriage is very tough. And to come into a marriage with one that's saved and one that's not saved, first of all, is against God's Word. Being unequally yoked together, as manner of some is, the Bible says. God says you're not supposed to do that. And if your parents are encouraging you not to do it, it'd be a good idea. They've already cleaned your little bottom and fixed you and fed you and did everything they could to keep you alive. And now you get to the point where you think you're Miss Sassy and you think you're Mr. Cool and you go out and grab somebody of this world, I'll tell you, you're not going to be happy. You say, but I know somebody that got married and her husband got saved. For the one you know, I know 1,000 didn't. She's got her religion, I got my religion. I just talked to a person the other day at a rest home. Said, my wife had this religion, I had that religion. And I'll tell you what, we never went to church together. How can you not forsake the assembling of ourselves of the manner of some is if you don't go to church? Halo. You know what halo is, don't you? That's how the answer, the phone in heaven. Halo. But anyway. Then cometh Jesus, the blind man who cried, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Even the world tried their hardest to keep him to shut up. Then came Jesus. Son, what do you want? He says, oh, Lord, that I may see. Hello, the blinkers are working. Can you imagine being blind all those years? You hear that Jesus, the miracle worker, is coming, and people are telling, shut up, man. Be quiet. Show a little respect for God. Hey! Jesus! All Jesus wanted to ask, what did he do? Heal him. I really don't give a flip what people think. I'm going to God. And you may call me crazy, and you may call me out of my mind, but I'm going to tell you something. God answers my prayers. Amen. And God will answer your prayers. God will answer your prayers. I've had a lot of people say, oh, Pastor, would you pray? I like what one preacher said. If you pray as much as I pray, then I'll pray with you. If you ain't going to pray and just expect me to pray, hey, hang it up. How many times people say, Paul, pray for... I was thinking of Pappy. Grandma, I want to say Grandma Walker, Grandma Ridger. And they found out last week. Remember we were praying for him? Because he had cancer? Doctor said he ain't got cancer. Amen. I said the doctor said he ain't got cancer. Amen. You said, oh, that was just... something. Yeah, that's something. Especially if you got cancer and you don't have cancer. That's really something. You can do whatever you want. You can turn on a double back flip. I don't care what you do. But bless God, if I got cancer and I don't have it, I'm pretty happy, amen. It's about time some of us realize that God does answer prayer. He loves you. Some of us, He doesn't answer what we pray. My mother, for 3 years, had cancer. She had liver cancer. And it went into her bones. One day she was laying in bed and she was so weak. She rolled over and broke her collarbone. It was so fragile. She's in heaven today. She used to pray, God, am I not gold yet? Am I not gold? I prayed when I was doing CPR on my father-in-law. I brought him back 3 times, but the last time, he didn't get back. 59 years old, we buried that man of God. It ain't fair. No, God knows what he's doing. I thought we were here for him, not he is for us. I thought that he created mankind for fellowship with him. And could it be that he just would like to have us closer to him in heaven? Aren't you ready? I'm ready to go. I like what John says. Lord, come quickly. Now, I know some of you, my wife, bless her heart, when she was a young girl, She says, "Oh, God, I'm ready to go to heaven, but I'd sure like to know who my husband is going to be." And then when she found out who her husband, she said, "Okay, I'm ready." But anyway, that's what some of you people did, amen. Oh, Lord, take me now. Ah, help me. And then after we got married and just having a good time, found out we're going to have a baby, and I heard her tell me, she says, "Honey, I don't hope I'm not a very, honey, I don't think I'm very spiritual." I said, "Why is that?" She says, "I just told the Lord, Lord, I'd rather go home, but I'd rather, like, before I go home, see my baby. Have a baby before I go home." Had that first guy, and 13 months later, had another guy, and same thing. "Lord, I like to go home, but I'd sure like to see another baby." A few years later, here comes another boy. Now her prayers, "Lord, you've been so good to me, and yes, I want to go home, but I'd sure like to wait to see my grandkids." She ain't ever going to give up, I don't think. But let me tell you something. Is God, the God of this Bible, merciful and faithful and gracious? And doesn't He know best for me? I told some guys yesterday, I was preaching, and they asked me, "Will you tell us a little bit about your wife and the things you've been going through?" And I told them, I said, "You know, I don't know why people keep fussing about this, want to hear about it." I said, "I promised her daddy, who was the pastor of that church, and her brother-in-law, who was a pastor of another church, but they came and they thought that we needed two preachers and not one at that wedding. And I promised them, and I promised her and the company and the God of heaven that I would love her in sickness and in health till death do us part. What is the big deal here? My dad took care of my mother when she had cancer. My uncle Ray took care of Aunt Sarah, who had a stroke and she couldn't speak and couldn't hardly walk, and her arm was all crippled up like this. She was 50 years old and he took care of her until she's about 80. So what's the difference with me? Larry Brown took care of his wife for 11 years when she had cancer. Dr. Williams took care of his dear sweet wife almost 29 years. My buddy Rudy Smith taking care of his wife now 15 years. October 21st it happened. So what's the big deal? I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do. And I hope that I'm doing it the way I'm supposed to do, that you may catch on and say, "You know what? If that happens, I'll do the same thing." Because it can be done. It's hard. It's difficult. Sure it is. Life is difficult. Have you found that out? You can thank Adam and Eve for that. You're going to live by the sweat of your brow, the Bible said. That's what the Bible said. You're going to have trouble. Job said that in life, life is like troubles of the fire, that sparks that go up. So that's the way life is. I was reading the Psalms where the Bible said we live on the corner of trouble and sorrow. Heartaches come. Why? I think one good reason is that Jesus just wants you to know that, hey, there's a better day coming. Heaven. What's wrong with heaven? What's wrong with heaven? Hey, listen, it's a good day to know that, hey, I'll be absent from his body, present with the Lord. He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." He said, when the problems come, heartaches come in this world, he said, I will provide for a way of an escape. I'm glad I'm a Christian. I look at, hey, you got neighbors? Do you know neighbors have flat tires on their car too? And you know that neighbors have snow blowers that don't start when it's snowing? And you have neighbors that run out of gas. And you have neighbors that the kids go wayward. You got neighbors that their family dies. And they have funerals. Difference between your neighbor and you, that you have a loving Heavenly Father. Amen. His eye is on the sparrow.
Amen.
And He watches you. Your neighbor does not have a personal Heavenly Father that takes care of him. May I remind you, you're going to go through it. Happy day. Thanks, preacher. I really wanted to hear that today. I'm going to go through it. Yeah, you're going to go through it. And you're going to have family members. You're going to have heart problems. You're going to have family members. You're going to have cancer. You're going to have family members that divorce. You're going to have family members that, you name it, have a child out of wedlock. You'll have families that the kids are fighting. Oh, yeah. But the difference between you and them is that you have a Heavenly Father that says, I'll take care of you during those times.
Amen.
And when you run out of gas, you have a Heavenly Father that says, Dear Lord, I don't know what I want to do. I'm 10 miles from town. Lord, can you help me? You said, but nobody can. And maybe you're too fat and you need to walk. You need to exercise. I have seen God do so many things in so many ways. Just like Paul the Apostle says, I am persuaded. All these things in my life I see, and I am persuaded that neither life, nor death, nor principalities, nor powers, things present, things future, can separate me from the love of God.
Amen.
He said, I'm persuaded. Are you? I guess it's the question I ask you as a congregation today. Are you persuaded that God is perfect? Are you persuaded that God answers prayer? Are you persuaded that God will not let anything happen to you that you cannot withstand or provide a way of escape? Are you persuaded to that? Are you persuaded that everything that happens to you, there's a reason for it? And like John said, young John, the youngest of all disciples, who laid his head on the breast of Jesus Christ, he said, and this is the confidence that we have in Him. Are you confident? Or are you just coming to church because you have to, or you got a friend here, or you got, because your parents come, so you come. Or do you really believe God? I will promise you this. You will have trouble. But I also promise you, God, if you have God in your heart, He will take care of you. Are you confident in that? Are you persuaded to that? The world has no hope. They just think it's... They sing that little song, whatever will be, you know. Whatever will be. No. God got it all taken care of. And when you put your love in your heart and your trust in God, and the problems come, you say, Lord, and I do this many times, listen to me. I said, Lord, I didn't ask for this. You listen to me now. I didn't ask for that. I thought that when we got in our 60s, I'd go out and do a lot more preaching. And we could do a little bit more traveling. And that's why I said, Lord, Lord, just dying yesterday, not having her with me. She loved to ride my motorcycle. She just loved to have been with me. But it just kind of chilly out there. And she can't exactly tell me about how cold it is and where she's cold and whatever. And I go there all by myself yesterday. I ain't like that. And I said, Lord, this is not what I was thinking. And Lord, you have given me this. And I will not charge you foolishly. You have something for us. And I look at you people out here today. And I remember how it used to be. And you young wives were able to go to a very wise lady whose name was Marcia. And she'd help you or set you straight. She could cut your throat without you knowing it, and you go to spit, and you knew your throat was cut. She was the sweetest thing to scuttle a boat. Not me. I just go in there and blow everything up, amen, and let God sort the rest of it out, amen. And this has happened to you. Yes, it has. This has affected our whole community at Heritage Baptist Church. Amen. But you tell God, God, you allowed this. Now, Lord God, you provide for us. That has to be your prayer. That has to be my prayer. Or I'll go crazy. Because I start thinking the things, what if? What if, what if, what if, what if? We're supposed to preach in Hawaii. We were supposed to go to New York. There are some things that we were going to do. How do you do them? But the Lord knows.
Amen.
And I am persuaded and I'm confident that He did not make a mistake on June 6th. 2011. I'm confident of that. Thy will be done. Here's the deal. Then Jesus cometh. Jesus, take care of everything. If you can, if in things in your life that come on, and then you say, I don't know what I'm going to do, then Jesus is going to come. He just wants you to get to the point in your life you realize you can't do it and it's got to be Him. And there it becomes a great miracle because nobody could do it except Him. Amen. That just shows that we need Him. Your neighbor? Troubles? Yeah, they're going to have troubles. Yes, they are. Your fellow workers are going to have trouble? Yes, they are. Yes, they are. But you got someone to go to. Happy day, glory to God. You got someone to go to. And I hope today that if you have not received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, but today will be the day you say, I'm done this stuff about not knowing knowing a God that loves me. I'm done with that. I need a Savior. I need a Savior. I need Jesus as my Savior. I need to be able to say when things come to me, when problems come to me, say, Lord, you allowed this, so I'm trusting you that you know what you're doing. You know what you're doing. Father, I pray today. In the bottom of my heart, Lord God, I love you and I appreciate you. I know that's a small word, but I do appreciate you, Lord. I do count my blessings. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you know, I don't, you know, I don't, that I'm going to trust you because I'm persuaded and I'm confident in you. Lord, I pray that you would just speak to our hearts. And Lord God, that you would help us today to realize that you, a God of heaven, loves us so much and cares for us. Lord, now bless this time. Lord, I pray there be anyone here today not sure they're saved, not sure they have a home in heaven. Lord, today would be that day that all eternity looks back to and say, ah, November 4th, 2012, right here, your name was written in the book of life. The book of everlasting life. The book that's written in indelible ink. Thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask everyone to stand to your feet. You're here today and say, preacher, I am not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But I'd sure like to know that today. Are you saved? I mean, if you died today, are you 100% sure that you'd go to heaven? That's what I'm talking about. So, well, I kind of think, I say 100%. God's Word tells us that we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Wouldn't you like to know that today? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You come right now. Just step out of that seat, walk down the aisle and say, preacher, today I want Jesus to be my Savior. I need a great Savior. I need someone to save me. Why don't you come at this time, please? Why don't you come? If you died today, would you go to heaven? Preacher, I don't know. Then I'm talking to you. Jesus loves you so much that He gave Himself for you. Why don't you come right now? Why don't you come? You're here today and say, preacher, I've been saved, but I have not followed the Lord Jesus Christ in believers' baptism. You come at this time. Why don't you come? You're here today and say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we really belong. We just want to be part of this church. Why don't you come at this time?